Welcome back to the Book of Psalms, everyone. Psalm 43 is a short one, a concise prayer in just five verses. Straightforward, uncomplicated. Just a simple cry to God for help. Sometimes that's all you need. Doesn't even have a header. Musically speaking, I imagine this one stripped down, acoustic. One guitar, one voice. The author is unknown, but it sounds a lot like David. In fact, it sounds a lot like Psalm 42. So most scholars pair them together and place this psalm at the time when David was exiled from Jerusalem by his son Absalom. At that time, it seemed like the whole nation had turned against him. And whenever and by whoever this little prayer was written, it definitely felt like the whole world was against them. The opening words call out in verse 1. Vindicate me, my God, and plead my cause against an unfaithful nation. Vindicate me. The literal Hebrew is simply, judge me. When do you ask God to judge you? When the world won't give you a fair shake. Plead my cause against an unfaithful nation. Sometimes it feels like everyone wants to condemn you. And when those who stand against you are unfaithful, it's hard to plead your own case. They don't play by the same rules. Have you ever tried to defend yourself to people who don't care about right or wrong? Moral logic is useless. If this is David, I can almost see him leaving Jerusalem. The people turned against him as the puffed-up promises of young Absalom sparkle in their minds. What was it like to leave the people he fought for, the place he risked his life for? So the psalmist calls on God for vindication. The Lord can make my case. And notice the word my. It's a big word here in this little psalm, used 8 times in just 5 verses. I call on my God. Back in verse 1, rescue me from those who are deceitful and wicked. Now pay attention to the focus as the psalm moves forward. Watch the psalmist's eyes, as it were. He opens talking to his God, but his focus is clearly on his foes. He's overwhelmed by an unfaithful nation that stands against him. His eyes are looking around as he feels outnumbered. He's trying to look up, but struggling. Verse 2, you are God my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? It is a dejected cry for help. Why, God? 4 times the psalmist will ask, why? The first 2 aimed directly at God. You're my stronghold, God, the source of all my strength. How can I stand if you reject me? Why must I go on mourning and oppressed? Ever ask God a question like that? It's a good question, if that's where your heart is at. Now look at the psalmist's eyes again. Where's he looking? He's trying to look up, but struggling to see. It just feels like empty space above him. His faith batteries are low, and it feels like this prayer thing just isn't working. But he doesn't give up. Verse 3, send me your light and your faithful care. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Can you see him beginning to come around? With his eyes lifted to God, a glimmer begins to come back, as though he sees something in the distance. Sometimes faith muscles need a little warming up. Send me your light. He doesn't see it, but he asks for it. I need your light, Lord. I need your faithfulness to see me through. I don't know the way forward, and I need your light and your care to lead me. That plea, to lead me, is the turning point in the psalm, a move forward. He knows where he wants to go. He just can't see a way to get there. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. That's his destination. Back with God, back to his presence. He feels distant and rejected, and he wants to get back to the place where God dwells. The glorious theme of so much scripture. The Lord designated a place to dwell with his people, to be with us. The tabernacle, the temple, the incarnate Son of God, and even his people, the church, all of them are God's dwelling place on earth, God with us. And even as the psalmist prays for it, he begins to see it, begins to see himself there. In verse 4, "Then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God." You can see the sparkle returning to his eyes now. Watch the tone change. Faith muscles are warmed up, and he remembers. He begins to see, "I will go," determination, "to the altar, the place where God's sacrifice sets me right again." For you and me today, that's the cross. To God, my joy and my delight. Lo and behold, even joy begins to come back. At least the hope for it. And he finds it in God. A more literal reading has it as, "God, the gladness of my joy." How beautiful is that? Lord, you are the best part of my happiness. I mean, joy is one thing, but you put the light and laughter in it, the delight. "I will praise you with the lyre." He sees it so clearly, he can almost hear it now. A tune returns to his heart, or at least the dream of one. The lyre is an ancient stringed instrument, much like a harp, with lilt and lift, well befitting of praise rising to God above. And notice that same phrase again, "God, my God." But it feels different now, lighter. And look closely. Three times in this one verse, the psalmist uses the word "my," my joy, my delight, and my God. He's grabbing hold, taking possession of hope. He lost it, and he's determined to get it back again. But even as his eyes lift, his heart struggles. Verse 5, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me?" This is one of my favorite elements in the Psalms. I call it soul self-talk. "Hey, soul, what's your deal? I didn't tell you to be down. I demand an explanation for your rebellion. God is still good. Why are you still complaining? I know this whole thing is messed up. I know all the people are against us. They're people. What did you expect? God is still faithful. I've got my eyes fixed back on him now, and it's time for you to catch up, soul." So maybe I embellished the soul self-talk, but sometimes my soul needs a little pep talk. He's a little stubborn, so a little coaxing is necessary. "Oh yeah, and soul, could you change the playlist? All this emo stuff is bringing me down, man. Sorry for the interruption. He'll be okay in a minute. Back to the psalm. Did you notice the flip in the why questions? First, he questioned God. "Why did you reject me, Lord?" But with a little work, he realizes it's not the Lord. It's me. It's my own soul. I got to talk to me. So the next why questions are directed inward. And still speaking to his soul, back in verse 5, "Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." You can feel the determination in his voice as he commands his soul to hope in God. Hope is empty if it is not placed in something, something real and concrete, something faithful and true. Hope in God, for I will yet praise him. He will respond and I will return to his holy mountain. And I will grab hold of that harp and fill that place with praise. And two more times we see that little word, my. As his faith grips tight to God, the psalmist makes it personal. This is for me. This is mine. My Savior and my God. Read Psalm 43. Lift your eyes heavenward and hold fast to what is yours. Hold on to hope. And maybe tell your soul you're ready for a new playlist.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.